North Carolina's current congressional and legislative districts have been a point of controversy for nearly a decade now. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule on the latest iteration of the state's congressional maps this summer. Also, a trial date has been set for this summer in Superior Court over similar issues. And it's easy to get in the weeds about what's at stake. Reporter Wilson Sayer takes a look at how some people are trying to move the state's redistricting process forward.
People are talking a lot about redistricting lately. Not just because of those ongoing court battles, but also because next year, 2020, is the census, which means regardless of the outcome of those court cases, the state will once again have to redraw political districts to reflect how the population has changed around the state over the past 10 years. Michael Lee is with the Brennan Center for Justice in New York City, where he works on redistricting and election law.
This is really an issue that has salience to people now in a way that it didn't before.
Redistricting, or drawing boundaries for congressional and legislative districts, is admittedly not very sexy. Until the gloves come off, like after what happened in the 2012 election. Just over 50% of all North Carolinians who voted chose a Democrat to represent them in the U.S. House of Representatives. That election, with those same votes, resulted in 4 Democrats and 9 Republicans going to Washington to represent the state. People were up in arms about this. Well, the Democrats were up in arms. And a similar kind of thing happened in the 2016 election.
The reason that you see so many legal fights around redistricting is an oddity in the way that we draw districts in the United States, which is that we, in most instances, leave it to the hands of political actors. That is just an invitation to gerrymander and to rig the maps in favor of your party.
And this is why the maps are being challenged now. Did the Republicans, who drew the maps in 2012 and 2016, unconstitutionally manipulate the boundaries of the maps to get ahead? It's a question that's been asked of Democrats, too, when they were in control of drawing the lines.
Among the American people as a whole, there is this deep sense that something is wrong with our democracy on many levels. But one of the big places where there's something wrong is in how we draw district lines. And they are ready for change.
So there's this movement in North Carolina and nationwide to reform the system, not just the maps themselves, but the way we draw the maps. And some of that stems from the fact that people in the state don't agree on some of the basic principles of drawing a map, like what criteria map drawers are supposed to follow.
You know, I try to tell my voters back home when I face them that I am going to apply the traditional redistricting criteria. But in the end, the line has to go here or here. And I will apply a partisan lens if it helps my party to draw it here. That's the lens that I will take.
This is North Carolina Representative David Lewis. He represents Harnett County and is senior chair of the House Redistricting Committee. He helped draw the maps that led to the 9-4 and then 10-3 Republican majority that we saw elected in 2012 and 2016. From Lewis's perspective, using political affiliation as one of the criteria is perfectly fine and legal.
We'll hear argument first this morning in case 18-422, Rucho versus Common Cause.
And that's a question the U.S. Supreme Court is weighing right now. Can politics be used to guide the drawing of political districts? Phyllis Demko is a retired attorney and is a board member of the League of Women Voters of Wake County. The League, along with Common Cause, brought the case against the Republican map drawers.
A citizen should not be penalized for voting history, their association with a political party, or their expression of political views. That's just basic democracy.
Demko was in the Supreme Court chambers during oral arguments in the case earlier this year.
Justice Kavanaugh made a statement that just amazed me. He said, "Some of your argument is that extreme partisan gerrymandering is a real problem for our democracy.
I'm not going to dispute that."
Whether the justices agree on that fact and whether they agree it's something they should and can weigh in on is still up in the air. A decision is expected sometime this month. But the justices won't rule on other big outstanding questions about how the state draws the maps. Like, who should draw the maps? Legislators or an independent commission? What other rules should guide the drawing process? And what kind of transparency should be baked into that process? Right now, there are a few state bills that are trying to address some of these questions. One of the more viable ones is a constitutional amendment called the FAIR Act. It's been put forth by the nonpartisan North Carolinians for Redistricting Reform. Mary Wills Bodie is the organization's executive director.
This is a good government initiative. This is making government work better for the people and also for our elected officials. When they know what the rules of the game are, they can do their job better.
The organization is trying to get the General Assembly to support the constitutional amendment, which would limit the kinds of data that could be used. No political affiliation data, no data about previous election results, and they can't use things like the address of a political incumbent in making any decisions. And then the bill requires transparency around the process.
People need to know what kind of data and the algorithms that are being used.
Under their bill, people would be able to look at how the legislators drew their lines. And any justification for one line going here versus there would have to be explained without one of those buckets of data. Supporters of the bill include Democrats Robert Reeves, Verla Insko, Republican House member Chuck McGrady, and Art Pope, a former legislator and co-founder of the conservative think tank John Locke Foundation.
This isn't a Republican or a Democratic issue. This is a North Carolina issue. And we have had litigation that spanned the decade for 40 out of the last 50 years. And we are spending time and money and resources litigating these issues.
One of the things the bill does not include, which has been a trend in redistricting reform, is any requirement for an independent commission to draw the districts. That issue is a political non-starter for many Republicans in the state. And for anything to move forward, both parties need to be on board. There's 65 co-sponsors of the bill in the House, Democrat and Republican, and it needs 72 to pass that chamber. The hurdle will be the Senate, but Bodie is still hopeful that with the General Assembly's veil of ignorance as to the outcome of the next election, and therefore questions of who will be in power to draw the new districts in 2021, that will push legislators to get behind the constitutional amendment.
This is an opportunity for them to have an insurance policy, to go into 2020 knowing that regardless of who wins, there will be fair rules in the process that everyone has to play by.
If the amendment passes the General Assembly, it would then need approval by North Carolinians in a statewide election. For North Carolina Public Radio WUNC, I'm Wilson Sayre.